Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to Late Lunch as we head into our 15th year on the air here on LMFM Radio. Hope you had a lovely Christmas and may I wish you all the very best for 2023. I go to my week calendar, as is my wont, at the start of each month. And let me read a couple of the little sayings for the calendar, the 2023 calendar from Divine Word Missionaries. It says on the cover, Lord, may my smile bring happiness, may my laughter bring joy, may my understanding bring comfort, may my presence bring peace. That thought for the year and for the month itself, January. It says, God grant us this year a wider view so we see others' faults through the eyes of you. And that thoughts and those thoughts with us, please, God, through the month of January and beyond. Well, Louise, welcome back. Was it tough? Was it tough today getting going again?
Do you know what? It was and it wasn't. I normally hate the first week in January. I just think it's very depressing. All the decorations come down. But you know what? I've just decided last night, kind of getting back into routine is good. And I'm just going to appreciate and be grateful for every day of January.
Well,
it'll probably last till tomorrow, but I'll try.
But look, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, as the famous song says. We leave the decorations up till the 6th. A lot of people have them gone already. I know that when the new year comes in, I understand that too.
Have some of them still.
Have you? Yeah, we just traditionally we leave them until, which is Friday, little Christmas day, nullug them on, and the crib, of course, the wise men arrive on that day. Ceremonial, very important.
So it's the crib you leave up if you're to take down all the decorations. But is it the crib or the tree that you leave up?
I would never. We take down nothing.
Okay. I take down bits and bobs so that the house doesn't look totally empty.
I would leave the tree in the crib. The crib is very important. Mm. That to the
well, if it's three
sure.
wise men, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I do anyway. But everyone to their own, and the tradition runs to the 6th anyway. And it's great this year because the 6th Friday. So Saturday we can, you know, get cracking on everything and clear the house. And you're right. And then it's so bare, isn't it? Oh, it's bare. It really is then for the month of January. And, you know, I've been lighting the fire. That's a tradition I do around the Christmas time and the New Year as well, which is lovely. Oh, you can't beat the old open fire either. It's just fantastic. And it was chilly. The weather was brutal. I did nothing.
Oh, I'm sick of the rain.
Oh, listen. And remember, folks, I mark your card on this first day back. If I hear anything, I'm going to say it again, about water shortages or rationing come summertime in this country, I'll break up the shop, I promise you. Because we should be selling the water. We have that much of it. It's unbelievable. But it wasn't really a holiday for out and about stuff. You know what I mean? Not a lot of golf and things like that because of the weather. But there you go. Anyway, hope you're well this Tuesday afternoon as we set off on 2023 and whatever that brings to us.
All resolutions going okay?
Well, they shouldn't be at this stage. It's only the third. Surely they're all. We're talking about resolutions a little bit later on in the show with Dr. Eileen Forrestal. She's the founder of Get Up and Go, and she's talking about resolutions to us and how to, you know, set them reasonably, you know what I mean, that they can be attained and how to stick with them, Louise.
Yeah.
So you'll be listening carefully, of course, to what she has to say and notes. And Tracy's in the house as well, the wonderful Aunt Tracy. Ah, quietly on the 28th of December, she said goodbye to the Gary Kelly Cancer Support Centre and she's joining me in studio in a while. I'm really looking forward to chatting to her. You're two and two's then, more besides to come. But let's begin today. The greatest footballer of all time. If you want to debate that one with me, you can. Pele was the greatest footballer of all time. Maradona, fantastic. Messi, Louise, Johan Cruyff, George Best. But in my book, there was only one, the greatest ever, Pele. Three World Cup wins, all the goals he scored. He was a magician, Louise. He was just a magician. He really, really was. But I know people will debate that with me. If you Arfa Pele, or you think somebody else, let me know. 086 1800 658 if you have an opinion on that. But we're going to talk about him for the next while, because joining me on the line is the club secretary at the time of Dunboyne Football Club when Pele came to officially open the new grounds in 2009. Kevin Higgins is standing by. Happy New Year, Kevin.
Happy New Year to Jerry and to Louise. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining me on the show today. You people are just so lucky. When I read all the stories that have surfaced since his sad passing around the holiday time, tell us first, how did he come to be at Dunboyne and officially open your grounds, please?
The reason he came to us was we won the FAI's Club of the Year award for 2009. And when we were awarded it, Mr. John Delaney, if people will be aware of, he announced to us that we'd have a special prize, if you like, which would be a visit from Pele. Mm. And you know, we thought we weren't too sure, was this somebody's head up the top of his head
yes.
or what, because it was at a big function up in Monaghan. Mm. But it turned out he was true to his word, and the same Pele arrived to open our grounds, and he unveiled a little plaque, which is still there to this day, to say he opened the grounds on 26th of November, I think it was, 2009.
Wow. And you have that plaque still there. And I believe people love standing by it and having that picture taken to this day.
So they do, yeah, they do. Like, a lot of people come up and think we just put that thing up ourselves and say, look. But no, it's actually genuine yolk.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
and you know, you say there, it was arranged, of course, by the former CEO, John Delaney, and it was promised at a different event earlier. Did you not believe it till you saw the helicopter? He came in by helicopter, didn't he?
He did. He came in by helicopter. He was here to do some work, I think, with the Children's Hospital in Crumlin, which was, you know, a kind of a charity he'd been involved in for quite some time. And we were fitted in very nicely. I think it dovetailed very well with what he was doing, you know.
Mm.
It was. I mean, as people were up there. I mean, friends of my own came down from Monaghan to see us even, you know.
Yes.
People weren't believing it. I mean, there he is. He looks like him. It must be him. And through the farm, it was him. You know, he was very good. Now he
yeah. And you know, the thing was, as well, just to mention, the weather on the day was an issue with the chopper, wasn't it?
It was very windy. It'd been very windy the day before, and there was a question of the possibility that he might have had to have been replaced by a road trip, which would have made things more awkward again. But by 30, we had that kind of boxed off. It would have happened either way, but that chopper was much handier. Mm. Much handier. So, and he landed on the centre circle.
And out he comes. Look, he's here. The greatest footballer of all time is in Dunboyne, and he's here to actually officially open our grounds. He was very personable, wasn't he? That comes across.
It does, absolutely it does, and rightly so. He was extremely... He'd so much time for everybody. I think the security guys are getting a bit anxious, if you like, because, you know, he was on a schedule and all this, and, like, but, you know, he had plenty of time to mount the autographs he did, and, you know, he was very careful. You could see him writing his name, like, it was as well, he only had four letters in his name, because he was very careful writing his name for every kid, and, you know, no problem with pictures. There was no limit what he would have done. He'd still be there, I'd say, if he had his way, you know, the kind of way.
Yeah, and there was a huge crowd turned up. The club, of course, was out in force, but as you say, people came from all over the country to be there and see him.
They did, and yeah, they did, you know, and like, I can't remember exactly what day of the week it was. It was like a Tuesday morning, let's say, you know, which was a regular Tuesday morning, so, you know, there was, should have been a school day. I think school gave him a few hours off to come up to it as well, and it was a huge crowd for
huge
us, you know,
crowd.
And it wasn't even a particularly nice day. It was cold, and it was a typical awesome day, you know.
Yeah. And you mentioned two reasons. He was there to open your grounds, but he was in Ireland. His charity was the big thing, Goals for Life, and he had an association, of course, with the Children's Hospital there, and he got a cheque presented on that day for $2,500 to him. But he reciprocated. He presented some gold medals.
He did. He apparently there was a set of medals. The basis whether the medals are coins, like, as I know, the Brazilian Central Bank issued them, but I'm not saying about that. But they were to commemorate. There was a set of a gold, a silver, and a bronze. They were large coins. They'd be nearly the size of a small beer mat, if you like, circular beer mat. And there was a gold, silver, and bronze set done for each goal he'd scored in senior football. Now, he's alleged to have scored 1,300 something goals, I think. Maybe 1,400, which is a huge amount of senior goals by many standards.
Yes.
And we got a numbered set of them whatever numbers was, you know, so there was a genuine issue, all right. So yeah, he provided them.
And who got those medals, can you tell me, Kevin? Do you remember who got them, no, or where they are?
I've no idea where they are. But they were large medals. I mean, it was a set case or case set, if you like.
Yes.
He autographed a local cartoonist, if you like, Niall O'Loughlin.
Yeah.
The two lovely kind of cartoon pictures of him, and he autographed them as well. So
That picture is alleged. It is alleged that that picture hangs in Pelé's home. Have you heard this? That caricature that Niall O'Loughlin did of man himself.
It could well do.
He loved it.
I'm not surprised. Niall stuff is great.
Oh, brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. He really is. But that's the view that he really loved it, took it with him, it was minded all the way back home and hangs in his home. Isn't that just great to contemplate that?
It's brilliant. It's brilliant that we actually gave him something as well. Absolutely.
You had samba-style entertainment as well, I believe, on the day.
We did. There was some samba dancers and singers and whatever there, and so they were delighted to see. I mean, obviously, he was their hero as well, you know. So they were delighted you could see them. But afterwards, when they were finished doing their act, they going over to see him, they couldn't believe.
Yes.
This is their hero, like, you know, can you imagine if he was an Irish player and we were seeing him, you know, it was like that for those lads.
And when he signed, everyone wanted him to sign his name. And the thing about Pelé, he didn't sign Pelé, he signed it his full Brazilian name.
For some of them he did, but most of it was Pelé.
Pelé, was it? Yeah. Okay. It was a mix of both. Yeah. He loved to sign his full name. I see that. He actually did. And when you'd look at it, you'd think, who is that man? Pelé.
And nobody would know. You know, it sounds like Royce. But I mean, I think Brazilians have big long names.
Yeah, they do. They do. Actually, I just want to recommend a wonderful piece in the Mead Chronicle by John Donoghue this week. You should read it, folks. And really, it's fantastic. And it goes through in detail the visit. And I just see in John's piece, he does name those who received the medal. Gemma O'Connor, Jordan Ring and Claire Carton were the recipients. So there you are of the medals. It's good to see that. So we can put names on them now. Here's the other thing. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just giving you a little fundraising idea here, and Ara Louise has been thinking about this. You know, Barcelona sell pieces of the Nou Camp for €40 that Messi played on.
They do, yeah.
Do you know where this is going now? Do you understand where this is going?
I can smell what they're at.
It's fundraiser there for Dunboyne. There's plenty of grass up there. You know what I mean?
There certainly is. As we throw it out.
No, you need the pitch to play on. I know that as well. It's not going to go mad altogether. But look, on his passing, you were there on that day. You were deeply involved in his visit as well. It was so, the outpouring of grief worldwide has been phenomenal, and I'm just watching it here on the television live. His funeral is happening today.
It's unbelievable. Like, but you know, I think I said it. We did a video, a YouTube video, which is still on YouTube. If anybody wants to look up Dunboyne Pelé, they'll find that it's quite a long film of the day, and that, you know, so you can actually see it.
Great.
I remember saying it at the time, actually, you know, people have opinions about football of all sorts and every sort, but I've nearly, probably the only thing everybody agrees on is that this guy was the best, you know.
He was the greatest. He really was the greatest. And I don't care what anyone says, and I've seen a lot of them since from the, even right up to the current year as well, and the fabulous players. I mentioned them there at the start of the show. Wonderful, wonderful. Maradona, Messi, Cruyff, Best, you name them, Ronaldo, fantastic. But I think they even all themselves acknowledged that Pelé himself was the greatest. 3 World Cup wins, and only 4. They kicked the you-know-what out of him in 1966. He may have won 4 World Cups.
He could have.
You know, that's the bottom line, really. But isn't it a great thing that Dunboyne will always have, that he visited, he opened the grounds, and he's part of your history now as well?
That's right. That can't be taken away. That's true.
Never. It really can't. And just in a general sense with the club, you're going as strong and as vibrant as ever. But, you know, people in your club put their livelihoods and homes on the line to secure the grounds, didn't they?
They did, The trustees of the club, they had to lash their properties to the title deeds, if you like. Yeah.
Yeah, put them up so as the land could be secured where the grounds is, where the grounds are now and will be forevermore. You know, it just shows you the commitment of people, you know.
It's when all is said and done. That's the acid test, you know.
It certainly is, Kevin. So anyway, Dunboyne and Pelle, synonymous forever as he's laid to rest today as we watch the pictures coming in there live from Brazil. It really is a sad day in the world of football. But Kevin, you'll always be proud. You'll always have it and he's always yours.
That's it.
Kevin, thank you so much. Wish you all well.
You too.
Happy returns. Take care now. Bye-bye. That's Kevin Higgins, the club secretary of Dunboyne. On the day Pelle came along to open their grounds on the 26th of November 2009. We'll have to get Niall O'Loughlin on and talk to him about that caricature and more besides. We will indeed, because it's simply brilliant. And Niall, what a man. He's just something else. Love that divine word. Callender, myself, Jerry, wouldn't be without it, says a listener. Thanks for your messages. 086 1800 658 by WhatsApp or text. I mentioned in the course of conversation with Kevin Higgins, I must catch up with Niall O'Loughlin, who is the most brilliant caricaturist and caricatured Pelle when he came to Dunboyne. Well, my wish is now a reality. He's on the line. Thanks, Louise. Niall O'Loughlin, Happy New Year.
Oh, same to you. How's it
going? It's going great. Well, I'll tell you this. You are some boy. Looking a few years younger in all the pictures that have surfaced. You know, the time passes, of course. But Pelle captured magnificently. What did he say to you when you presented it to him, Niall?
You know what? Not a whole lot.
Right.
Because the Owl English wasn't great.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think back. I was kind of thinking what because he had minders with him and stuff, and they just kept, he was kind of talking to them, and he's kind of, but like he just kept smiling, and, you know, it was like, I love it. I love this kind of thing, you know? So, like, as opposed to saying, I hate it.
Why would he say that when you just capture people to a T? I did mention that he loved it. And this is the subsequently what came out. He was so impressed by it. Is it true or can we verify it all? He did take it home with him. Did you hear it was in his house? Yes?
That was the nicest thing, actually. I heard that afterwards, that the guys who were with him said they emailed the club afterwards to say that he loved it and that he was, as soon as he got home, he was hanging in his house. So... That came afterwards.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, I was delighted about that. I don't know if he did or he didn't. I mean, I never got a picture of it in the house, obviously.
I know. But we'll take it. We will take that as gospel.
It's hanging.
There you go.
Actually, do you know where it's hanging? I bet it's hanging in the bathroom.
Would you think so?
Or in the toilet. I used to take that as an insult. But people always say that to me. They say, when I'm going home, I'm hanging, you know, because when I draw them at an event or something, they go, or people get a gift of one, they go, I'm hanging that in the bathroom and then I get home. And I used to think it was an insult.
No.
Until I realised that it's actually meant as a compliment. You know why?
Go on.
Because seemingly, everybody goes to the bathroom in the house. So everybody sees it. It's the one place in the house where everybody will see it. So instead of taking it as an insult, that they end up in the jacks.
Everybody has to sit in the throne. It's as simple as that. That is the biggest compliment actually can be paid. I think if it's somewhere else, people mightn't see it, or in an office or a room. You put it prominently where people see it, and that's correct. It is a compliment. And everyone has to look at it and say, Do you know what? Do you know what? I'll never forget my visit to that bathroom in the house. Because
so now when I hear, that's going in the jacks the minute I get home, I go, listen, geez, really? Oh, thanks a million. You know, I didn't like it.
Be happy now. Look, at one thing while you're with me, just as an off-centre, really. You know this woke culture where you can't say or do or anything. And you know when your caricatures extenuate, you know, features of people. Do people ever take umbrage, or do you ever get any of that type of nonsense?
No, okay, I do get asked that a lot, right? It's just unbelievable. So last year, I'd say I drew, an average week, say, for different events, weddings and stuff, I could draw a couple of hundred people, right?
Yeah.
Never do they take offense. Never. And I'll tell you why. Because the way I do it is, you see, certain people will come over to me and certain people won't, right? Mm. So the people who get offended, who would get offended, just don't come over. They just don't. But so the people who want one are the ones that come over, and they're in the queue. Like, you know, it's just endless.
Yes.
So as I always say, the people who would be offended just don't come near me. They just don't.
That's the way of the world and the way it should be as well, and I'm delighted to hear that. Listen,
don't get offended is a long-winded way. No, they don't. They absolutely love them and they queue for them, and I'm always amazed, and I want to continue to be amazed at how much people love them.
Can I tell you this? The day you came here and mine, I treasure it and will treasure it for all my life. I absolutely love it. And
sure, you can't laugh at yourself. What can you do?
What can you do is right. Niall, listen, leave it there today. We'll be in touch, I'm sure, during the year. Congratulations on Pele. Thank you indeed. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. The wonderful Niall O'Loughlin there, caricaturist. What a brilliant man he is. My next guest is so well known to you, our Late Lunch listeners, and an LMFM listeners in general, because you see, she's been part and parcel of the Gary Kelly Cancer Support Centre since the doors opened back in 2002. But a little birdie told me over the holiday season that Anne Tracy was leaving and retiring. And she was going to slip away into the sunset quietly, but not on your life, because she's in the hot seat with me this afternoon. Anne Tracy, you're so welcome back to Late Lunch.
I think I'm going to say thank you, Gerry.
Oh, listen, we want to say the biggest thank you to you, and that's why you're here with us this afternoon. Look, let's go back to 2002 when the centre became a reality. How did you and Gary Kelly come together?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Gary's testimonial, that was in May 2002, 5th of May. And the request from Gary at the time was to create something, a haven for people with cancer and their families. And he selected a couple of people in the town that he trusted, namely the main one being Paddy Dwyer. So when the money came through, they were looking for someone to project manage. So at that time, I was managing the rehab centre at Coast Road, Dundalk. Loving 20-odd years involved with special needs between one group and another. Loving what I did. And representation of the Board of Trustees met me in Dundalk and asked, would I come back to Drogheda to meet the trustees and talk about project managing the centre. Do you know what, Gerry? I didn't need a second invite. I was up like a hot. I was back in Drogheda meeting. At the time, I met a few of the then board, and Tom Matthews was one, and Paddy Dwyer. And so we met in Tom Matthews' office in Constitution. Lane and Constitution Hill, sorry. So they talked about this project and what did I see or what did they think of it. But you know what, Gerry? I absolutely knew this was needed. Mm. Absolutely. I had lost a dear, dear friend, uncle, relation through cancer. And I had also a very good friend in England, a very young of cancer. And I remember thinking all over the years, this is horrible. There's just such a big gaping gap when somebody goes or when they're diagnosed, and we're all running around and we don't know what to be doing, we don't know what to be saying. And when I heard what they were talking about, I thought, oh my God, yeah. I could see it. I could visualise it. I absolutely knew. So that's how we started.
It all began there. So
October 2002. Yeah.
So in you went to project manage initially, and you've been there ever since.
Yeah.
Of course, best known when you got it up and running as the woman who was given the huge responsibility of bringing in the funds. Because I always say this, you get so little from central government. Yeah. The majority of the money, the vast majority, has to be raised every year. Yeah. And in you threw yourself to the fundraising. And my God, I think the biggest tribute I can pay you is this. I don't think anybody could ever say no to Anne Tracy. Would that be fair to say?
Oh, yeah, they kind of know. I pester you if you don't.
That's your job. That is, and people got to know that, you know what I mean, about you. But you went the highways and byways everywhere to try and bring in those euros that were needed. But Anna, on the other hand, weren't people great? You'd have to say that, wouldn't you?
Oh, Gerry, without question. Absolutely. I mean, when you think we started out, the first group that I ever tried to winkle a few bob out of was a bridge club out in Tarman Fecken. And I went out, I had devised kind of a little leaflet. That was 2003. And at this stage, we had just signed on the dotted line and got the house. And what I was talking about was what we foresee, what we aspired to delivering. And, you know, you stand in front of this group and you're saying, we have no beds, we have no medicine, we have no doctors, we have no treatments. We're about the psychological impact of a cancer diagnosis on you and on your family. 20 years ago, that was very aspirational.
Yes.
And you're asking people to believe in you and donate towards it, because at the same time you're saying, we have no money and we need to keep this going. A wonderful, wonderful son of Drogheda, Gary Kelly, put all his money, his testimonial money behind this.
To buy the place.
To buy the place. Now we need to get it up, running and open. So that was it. But people believed.
That Bridge Club ponied up. They believed you.
They did.
And that's where it all, you can remember that your first time.
Yes.
The official opening, you just reminded me, 2002 you went in, was 2004. Yeah. May, I can always remember. Yeah. And that was the first time you reminded me, you and I met each other in 2004. Wasn't it a beautiful day?
It was stunning, Gerry. And it was a It was a crap week before.
It was. The weather was terrible.
The weather was appalling.
Yes.
And we were, you know, because there were so many people in the town that we needed to say thank you to. Like, we had things like Annika's Challenge going on one weekend where we had electricians, plumbers, guys with torches, setting torches, hanging out of ceilings. They started on a Friday evening and they finished on a Sunday night, and we had the place rewired and a heating system in. And that's how gorgeous. We sent an SOS for people to come on board. We had carpets. The lovely Joe Reid helped us source the appropriate carpets, because there's very clear guidelines about what you can put into a centre like that.
Yes.
Things of an organic and natural nature.
Yeah.
And then, so we got the money together and bought the carpets, got a very good deal through Joe. But then we needed them fitted.
Hmm.
So we put the SOS out, help.
And people just came.
They just came.
And did it.
And
as you said, at that opening, you invited all these people who had made it happen and kitted out the centre as well. Look at what's happened in the interim with the services you provide, the professionals you were able to engage to deliver the support to people and the families who are going through a cancer journey. That has been magnificent too.
We have grown, and I mean, I never doubted for a minute about the future for this centre and the need for this centre. And 2019, when we was our last full year of operation, we were up on close to 9,500 client interventions, you know, all free of charge. So something, we were doing something right, and the people believed in us, and not only believed in us, but they were our ambassadors. They advocated on our behalf, encouraging people to come and use the services, not necessarily waiting for a doctor or a hospital to say, while the primary caregivers do absolutely encourage people to avail of the centre's services. But the ordinary man and woman on the street, they were our biggest form of advertising and promotion, you know. So, and we have been so fortunate. When we started out, we had Phil Harford as our director of services. You remember Phil?
Yes.
And Phil was there with us for 10 years. And in the interim, we took on a breast care nurse, Aileen Emery. And Aileen was with us as our breast care nurse, who then moved into the slot of Director of Services. Aileen left a couple of years ago. We have a wonderful, lovely lady up there called Morag. I think you met Morag at our 2019 Christmas party.
Yes.
So Morag is a highly skilled, qualified oncology nurse, and she's there in that role. And we have Suzanne, who is a general nurse practitioner, and she's there supporting Morag. So our counsellors have been with us from day one.
Mm.
They're still there. We have a physiotherapist, Kay, and Kay's been with us from the get-go.
Mm.
She's still there. We have reflexologist, a lovely girl, Kiva, and she's the demand for reflexology has just come
it's
through
huge.
The roof. as has the counselling. Our counselling demands have escalated.
So the range of services have expanded and they're there, and there's been some there from day one, and you've added two as well. Mm-hmm. When you think of all the people who've passed through in 20 years and you've helped, and those who, you know, continue on their journey today, but you've lost friends as well along the way. Was that tough? You know what I mean? When you came close to people and they came back and supported you. You know what I'm getting at. You know, was that hard to deal with for you?
Yeah, and in general, you'd always keep it in mind that to be effective, you've got to keep some little level of distance from somebody, so that you can carry on with the job and meet the people and promote it. And yes, but inevitably, we lost clients of the centre that we got to know. Not only get to know, but we got to know the family members. And sometimes we got a bit of a shock when something happened that really wasn't foreseen and that kind of thing. And yeah, it did. It's a handful that would have penetrated that little armory that you put up around so that you can keep functioning. But when it did, I was very glad to be able to tap into my colleagues and, you know, get support from them. Or we'd meet and we'd have a little chat. We might sit down and have the cup of tea and... I had the weekly meeting would be about how are we all over that.
Very important.
So important, Jerry. Yes,
for you
so
to deal with this. How much does it take? Just how much do you need each year to support the centre? How much do you need to raise?
Okay. In our heyday, when we were flying it and back doing every 2019, it was running at 400,000. We're back up to 350,000 because we're almost fully back to normal with the two. Thankfully, the new building has been huge. So 300, we get 2,500 from the HSC.
And you raise the rest.
And we raise the rest.
So you're talking about 350 to 400,000 a year has to be raised to keep the show on the road.
Yeah.
Let me read, I think this message just summarises the messages we're getting for you. They're coming in here to me. Yes, if you want to wish Anne Tracy well, 086 1800 658. You can message me now by WhatsApp or text. Listen to this. Will you please wish our mutual friend Anne Tracy a happy retirement? Anne was one of the first people I befriended when I moved to Drogheda. She's such a wonderful person who has dedicated so many years of her life looking after everyone at the Gary Kelly Centre. She's a bundle of energy who always makes you feel better by her beautiful smile and precious hug. It's now time for Anne to have some me time. And I'm sure I'm speaking for so many as I say, thank you from the heart, Anne. That comes in from Michelle Howard this afternoon
you.
And the messages are coming in here reflecting that sentiment. And I just read that one because it's beautiful from Michelle to you today. And I will read more as they come to me during the afternoon. I see them coming in there to me as I speak. Okay. You know the love that you're held in and the esteem. Do you understand this? No. Well, let me tell you today that the warmth and the love that's coming to us, you've got to feel it because people, you know, appreciate so much and everything you did during the years and to keep everybody going. You're like a mother figure there to everybody. I have to say that. I know you're still winding down. You have bits and pieces to do. Any plans beyond this for Anne Tracy?
I don't know. Do you know what, Jerry? We had our Christmas concert and Jerry and Mary Simpson front that for us and we were kind of chatting. And I laughingly said, I do actually want to a cruise. That is one of the things I want to. But to be able to take that time out from the centre in one go, it just wasn't feasible, you know.
Yes.
But I elaborated a little bit and I said, I think a world cruise would definitely be something to
And I think if that is your dream, you've got to go and do it now because look at you've had a very full working life even before Gary Kelly as well. But, you know, it's you are the face and the voice of the Gary Kelly Centre and you have been, Anne, let me say, Anne Tracy, for 20 years. You really have. And the money you've raised, the love you've given, the support, the door always open has been just phenomenal. And I want to say a big thank you on behalf of everybody who attended the centre. And just as a little acknowledgement from us here on Late Lunch on LMFM Radio, those are for you. That's our Louise with some few flowers for you.
God.
Just to say,
I'm spoiled. I'm so sorry.
Not at all.
Thank you.
It's just a little gesture to say, bring light to your life this day and look at them and enjoy them. But look, it's only a gesture on our behalf. We could never repay you for all you've done for so many people and families. You really have.
People believed in me and believed in the message that I continuously and laboriously, you know, gave out on a daily basis, hourly basis, nearly. I remember saying a couple of times, if I saw my number coming up, I wouldn't answer the phone because I know I'd be looking for something. You know? So I couldn't have done this without LMFM. You've been brilliant, all of you behind the scenes here. I how many times have I said, oh, I forgot to mention something. Will you please do it? And yourself, and Michael and Eddie and Jimmy and Chuck. You're just gorgeous to us and have been a huge part of our success and will continue that, I know. And all of you out there listening and those of you not listening, be assured, I only ever could do what I have been doing because you were there, you believed me and supported me and you believed the charity that I represented. Bless you all, 2023, that it be a gorgeous, peaceful, joyous year to each and every one of you.
And Tracy, all the very best. Thank you so much for everything again. And thank you for joining me on Late Lunch today. Absolutely. Best wishes for your future.
Thank you so much, Jerry. God bless you all.
It's time for our Two on Tuesday.
Two on Tuesday.
Playing the songs that just never quite made it to number one.
But we were so close.
I'm supposed to be number one.
We were so close.
Two on Tuesday.
Yes, your Two on Tuesday, the first of 2023, was released back in April 1983, taken from their second album, The Luxury Gap, and performed on the 1000th edition of Top of the Pops, which happened in 83, and also featured later in the 1996 movie Trainspotting. Here it is, your first Two on Tuesday of the new year.
I've never been closer. Tried to understand that certain feeling carved by another's hand. Oh, but it's too late to hesitate. We can't keep on living like this. Leave no track.
Yes, Heaven 17, your Two on Tuesday with Temptation. It just couldn't make it to the top spot. And the one that prevented it, making number one on the UK singles charts in April 19 in May. It was actually May when it made the number two. In May 1983 was this one, probably regarded as the signature tune for Spandau Ballet. 4 weeks at number one. Here it is.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Head over heels, went toe-to-toe. This is the sound of my soul. This is the sound. I want a ticket to the world. Much is true.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I know this much is true. Take it away, Louise. Quick, before I have a conniption. I just can't take that song at all, Louise.
Why?
I don't know. I just, it's one of those things. Yeah. No, enough of the number one for today. Well,
it's
if you were to choose, come on, it has to be Heaven.
I wouldn't play either of them, to be honest.
Oh, would you not? Okay, fair enough. I suppose.
I edge towards the remake of that song. It was a remake by a DJ, wasn't there?
Kind of the Spandau Ballet one.
Yeah,
kind of Heaven 17 one.
No, the Spandau Ballet one.
Okay.
Jazzed it up a bit. Could be wrong, but...
Well, you know, I suppose it's a fair assessment today. It's a bit of a Hobson's choice, we could say, with our two on Tuesday. Yeah. Anyway, I'd love to have seen the Heaven 17.
I don't think I'm that mushy for either of them. To be honest.
Making the number one spot. But there you have it, Spandau Ballet, the biggest hit, absolute huge hit for them all around the world. In America too, making number one, 4 weeks top of the UK chart. There you have it. Anyway, they're still earning their crust thanks to that song. And Tracy, the good wishes. Oh my word, they're all there. Pamela Hill has been on to say she can't believe and will not be in the Gary Kelly Centre anymore. She's just part and parcel of the place. Robbie Berry has been on to me to say there. Where's Robbie's message there? I was just looking at it a moment ago. I'll pick it up in a moment. Hi, Jerry and Tracy. She's just the most wonderful woman. She's going to be so missed, says another listener there. Where did I see Robbie's message? Anne is just a wonderful lady. When I met Anne, I had no problem organising a charity walk for the centre. We walked from Carrick and Shannon to Slane, and she was always a great support when that was going on. She was especially good to my dad when he was ill. Robbie, thanks for that lovely message there. Another one, there's so many of them. Please wish Anne Tracy all the best in her retirement. She'll be so missed. That comes in from Carol Lane in Navan this afternoon. What a place. Always had fun and laughter and plenty of tears too, Jerry. Thank you, Carol. And so on they go. There's one there about Christmas lights, is there, I see as well. Still, the lights are still up. Is that in Salterstown?
It
goes on until Friday. Don't forget the air
Heather,
code.
Is it? Heather
it's Harman. Heather Harmon, A92 P957, and all the money going to So Sad there. The lights are still on in Salterstown. Don't forget to check them out before the end of the lighting season.
Jerry, just to mention there, Spandau Ballet True. Actually, Martin Kemp was in Drogheda playing last weekend.
Was he?
Yeah, in Trinity Quarter,
I believe. From Spandau Ballet.
It was a big whole 80s DJ going on.
Okay.
And I believe he was...
Oh, God.
He was down there, so...
Good job he's gone. Good job he's gone. He'd be up the road and looking for me.
We'll
How dare you?
Looking to bring
How
him on.
How dare you? Anyway, Martin, I'm only going to turn more
people
towards
it. We like gold. Isn't gold Spandau Ballet?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a classic.
So there you go. The gyms are full. People are out marching the highways and byways. We give up this, that and the other. Yes, the beginning of a new year, people decide I'm going to make a change in my life. I'm going to make a resolution to do A, B, C or D, maybe even more. Or some people it's just A or B or A even. But the reality is, as January moves through and the month of February arrives, a lot of them have gone by the wayside. And in fact, many go by the wayside even earlier. So how do you make a resolution that you'll stick to and carry through into 23 and perhaps beyond? I'm joined by Dr. Eileen Forrestal, who's co-founder of Get Up and Go. And if you don't know about them, Get Up and Go is an Irish publishing company that produces inspirational diaries and planners infused with uplifting content to motivate and inspire us one day at a time. This is what we need, Eileen. Welcome to the show and Happy New Year.
Hello, Jerry. Thank you for having me on the programme. Yes, indeed.
Well,
exactly what we need.
It's exactly what we need. Those words, those last words there are just what everybody needs this day on the 3rd of January. But look, Eileen, you're a very experienced person in this field. Tell us, just give us the insight to, you know, making these decisions or making these pledges or resolutions, how do you, you know, make one or two that's going to stick?
Well, it's not the making of them that's the problem. The making of them is quite easy. It's actually the doing of them that seems to be the problem. So I think we find it very easy to say things.
Yeah.
Certainly after Christmas, what I think we're inclined to do is be very reactionary. You know, it's almost like we've overindulged in everything. It's been excessive. You know, we've been advertised to the hilt. We've been bought and sold. We've eaten and drank. And it's like, so it comes to January. It's like, oh, I'm going to stop doing that. So we react.
Yeah.
And I think that's not a good place to make any resolution from. That's like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, that was wrong. I'm going to be better. It's like, no. You did that. That was fine. That was what was needed.
Yeah.
But we need to make resolution from a different. We need to do it from something that we really want.
Okay.
I think that's the thing. If you really want it, then it's easier. You know, it's something you really want to do, you'd love to do, and then find out, well, you know, where will I kind of get the help to do that, or the confidence to do that, or the courage to do that? And then find those things. And then that's kind of what our little diaries provide you with.
Well, let's talk about one thing. And it's in, you know, Operation Transformation is starting now. As I said, the gyms are full and people are out walking and exercising. A lot of people will say, you know, they've indulged, and rightly so, enjoyed the festivities. You're dead right there. Why not? And don't regret them at this stage. But, you know, say somebody wants to shed a few pounds or get into better shape. Are you saying, like, at this time of the year, it's not a great time to start that? Or what are you saying? How do we, you know, make that? Say that's our one goal for the next, you know, number of months. How do you make that happen and stick with it?
Well, look, now is always a good time because, you know, now is the best time.
Okay. Really.
It might have been good, you know, 10 years ago, but now is a really good time.
Yes.
So, yes, you can do it now. And you're doing it now for something that you see in the future. You have to have that kind of view of what it would look like in the future. So if I am fit and healthy, you know, yeah, I want to, you know, look great on that, you know, photograph on that beach. I mean, that's really what I want. So what do I have to do now? Well, you know, I got to take a step back. Yes, maybe I do need to join a gym. Maybe I do need to get a buddy. Maybe I do need to get somebody to help me. You know, maybe I do need some other things rather than just have that faraway goal that seems great, but almost a little bit impossible, and then bring it back. Well, what can I do today?
Yes.
So perhaps I do need to join a gym today, but joining a gym today is not going to help if I'm not going to go to the gym today or the next day or the next day. Like, you have to do it every day. Mm. It's one day at a time.
Mm.
And only one day at a time or one at a time is going to get you anywhere. So the direction is where you want to go. That's what you want to be clear about. What is you really? And then enjoy what it is. Like, enjoy the gym.
Yeah.
If you don't enjoy the gym, you're not going to stick with the gym.
So have a goal.
Something else might do it. It might be dancing.
Mm.
It might be skipping. It might be some other activity that you enjoy doing that doesn't seem like hard work or a struggle in order to get to that place where you see yourself, you know, on
yes.
the holiday, in that photograph, in that outfit, or whatever it is.
I like that. So you got to see the goal. You got to see the end game. And you say, we're here today. That's, and I'm going to work towards that. I think it's a very true thing you say, though. It's got to be enjoyable, too. What happens if you miss a day? Say you set yourself out a goal of walking X amount a day, and for some reason you're just not feeling great, but you pick it up the next day. Is that all right?
Of course it is. You miss a day, you miss a day.
Yeah.
You know, you miss a day. It's like not to put a big drama to it. You know, it's like when you put a big drama, it's like, oh, I missed it. I'm never going to get back on again. That's kind of nonsense, you know. We have to be very careful. You know, again, with the diaries, I'm always very careful about words. It's the power of words. What we tell ourselves is really, really important. And what we listen to other people saying is important. So somebody can say, you know, oh, there's no point. You've missed 2 days. There's no point. It's like, well, I'd like to argue with that one. Of course there's a point. I'll make a point. I'll go back. Like, I actually gave up cigarettes once upon a time.
Mm.
Long time ago. And I've had 2 cigarettes since then, just 2, about a year apart. Now, it didn't mean that I was, oh, my God, I failed. I'm back as a smoker. No, I'm not. I'm still a non-smoker.
Mm.
And I had 2 cigarettes. So I fell off the horse like twice. I could have fell off a lot more, but I only fell off twice.
Yes.
Because I don't want to be a smoker. I'm much happier not being a smoker, but I've been a smoker for a long time.
Mm. You weren't worried by taking one, you'd be away off again. You know the way people say to you, oh, I can't take one. If I take one, I'm gone.
I think that's something that people kind of belief, which is not true. You know, one cigarette's just one cigarette. One day missed is one day missed. You know, one, it's just one. It's like if we don't attach the thing to it, it's like, oh, because I did one, that means it's lost. It's not.
Mm.
You know, it's like we could say that and yeah. then we don't have to bother anymore.
Mm.
Or we can say, uh-oh, today is another day. Let me do it again today. It is just one day at a time. I think that's really where we have to simplify things.
Okay.
And keep that bigger vision, you know, in sight. And then, well, it's one day. And okay, so I made a little detour, but I'm going back because I'm clear what's out there on the horizon. That's where I'm going. That's the direction.
Mm.
And I've made a little detour, but I'm back on track.
Come back to your diaries, because you are such a believer in this, because, as I said, they're infused with techniques and positive thinking, etc. But you believe in writing down. You believe this is a very important part of sustainability of a promise you make yourself at this time of the year.
Yes, either writing or reading it. It's the content. It's what you write down and what you read. So, you know, we think we're making it easy for people. So we're giving you content to read that is inspiring. It is encouraging. It is motivating. If you read it, you will get something.
Mm.
Now, you can write that down for yourself as well, which is great. And you put down, I will do this. I will do that. And then you have to do it because you can say, oh, I said I was going to do it and I didn't. It's like, yeah. Okay, forgive yourself. Move on.
Mm.
Say it again. And try it again. And just keep again and again and again. You know, we kind of say it's always, we're always now. It's always now. And now is always a good time to, you know, do it again, try it again, start again.
Yes.
Not to be thinking, oh, I didn't, it didn't work for me yesterday. That means it's never going to work for the rest of my life. You know, there's absolutely no point in saying that kind of thing. Just say it didn't work yesterday. You know, we do say, like, forgive the past, let it go. Yesterday was yesterday. I let it go. But today, what am I saying today? That's what matters. What am I going to do now? That's what matters.
What about
what I did yesterday is gone.
It's over. Well, you know,
yeah.
You will see commitment for people, especially this month of January. People, you know, do dry January, different things, etc. for the month. But a lot of people then reach a point where it ends and they just resort to rote, or they fall back and it's gone completely. So, you know, there are many people listening today need help with that. Is it still what you've just said a few moments ago and what we've been talking about, just go one day at a time? That's the biggest thing.
I think for me, it's just one day at a time. It's one message at a time. It's one sentence at a time. To me, it's one diary at a time. And I suppose for me, I've been in this, you know, writing these or compiling these diaries for like over 15 years. So for me, I only see the kind of the positive side. You know, anything that's negative at all, I'm going to turn it immediately into something positive. You know, because why not? Why not? Something that's going to bring me forward. Because I don't want to be sitting back and, you know, worrying about something or ruminating about something. That's not going to serve me or anybody. Whereas if I can just twist it. So I say, just pick up your diary or pick up something you've, you know, or pick up the phone and talk to somebody. Like, pick up something.
Yes.
Like now. And then get that bit of encouragement that's going to get you over it. That's going to be, look, today is another day.
Are you more about taking up than giving up?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I think it's about taking up, and it's taking up something that you want to do or you've always wanted to do. Like, I played the piano when I was about 7, right? And I am not a piano player, but really, I've always wanted to play the piano. So before Christmas, there was a piano in a charity shop, and I said, you know what? I'm going to buy the piano. So I set up, I got it tuned, I have a piano instructor, I've been looking at, you know, Zoom videos as to how to play the piano. But I'm really looking forward to playing the piano. Well, I'm going to play the piano for me. I won't be doing any concerts. You know, there won't be any, you know, thing out there. I won't be sort of in the year's time. You're going to see me on stage. Right? But that's not the purpose. The purpose is I actually want to play the piano. And it could be that art. You know, I used to do a lot of art when I was a child. You know, it's like, you know what? Maybe I'll just take up painting again. I love to do that.
Mm.
So it's really what lights you up in life. It's not whether you're, you know, running a marathon, unless that really lights you up. It doesn't light me up. I won't be running any marathons. I'm like my mother. She just about ran for a bus. there's always another bus coming.
I love that saying. Actually, I have tickets for Jules Holland in Dublin in June, and I can just see the advanced publicity nearer to the date saying special guest Dr. Eileen Forrestal on piano.
Be playing chopsticks, yeah.
But
twinkle, twinkle, little star over the Christmas. Very pleased with yourself.
But it is true, isn't it? Like the taking up of things, the learning of a new hobby, you know, going back to something from your childhood, all those things. There is so much, isn't there?
There's so much. Yeah, there's so much that we've kind of given up on, you know, because, oh, that's when you did it 100 years ago and you don't want to do it now. But, like, why not? And then find somebody else who actually, and do it with somebody. The company's great.
Yes.
Get connected. It might be a new, you know, it could be a book club. There's a whole pile of things. But you really have to check in with yourself. What is it that you really want? You know, do you want to be, you know, connected with people? Do you want to reignite something that you did, you know, when you were younger? Do you want to do that? Or do you want to travel? Do you want to do something new? Do you want a new adventure? Like, really, is there something that you really want to do? Because, you know, we don't want to be living with regrets, you know. And it's like, now is a good time to give it your best shot.
Yeah. Today is the
shot,
day.
You know, and get as much support and encouragement as you need. I think that's what people are inclined to not do. They, you know, you do it for yourself and then, you know, you kind of, you know, maybe you fail and then you kind of beat yourself up over it and say, oh, I'm not going to do that again. As opposed to reaching out to somebody and say, look, I really need help with doing this. I'm not good at doing these things by myself. Will you support me? Will you help me? Will you come for me for a walk 3 times a week? Will you help me? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised. So many people are willing to help.
The buddies are there, and a buddy is a good person to have. You mentioned that word there, to support you and be with you, encourage you along the way. Tell me more about Get Up and Go. Where can people find out more about you and these wonderful diaries?
Well, I suppose we're primarily, I suppose, not primarily online. When we are in the shops, we're retail. We have, you know, physically where books are available, probably in, I would say, most shops around the country at the moment. You know, Easton's and Veritas and all the distributed stores. And then online on the website is getupandgodiary.com. So we're just kind of available, really. You know, we're sort of here and this is what we're doing. And, you know, I have a very big vision, like, for this. I'm a big thinker and a big kind of a dreamer. I'm just kind of like, gosh, you know, what if the world was like perfect? That's kind of my thing. And what can I do in my little corner where I am to kind of make it be, you know, a little bit better? Being medical, you know, I've always kind of wanted to make things better, you know, better anyway, if it's people or it's the work, whatever. So I am a little bit of a visionary on that. And, you know, what if it would? Like, what if we could make something like really, really great? And what if we really could enjoy this time that we're on here on Earth? Wouldn't that be like really cool? So, and I just kind of, at the one point I had came across the term where Henry Ford said a car in every driveway. And then Bill Gates said a computer on every desk. And I said, oh my God, a Get Up and Go diary in everybody's hand. Wouldn't that be amazing? So I suppose that's kind of where, so the more, you know, hands or the more people I think that can get, you know, the Get Up and Go diary, and then, you know, the more letters we get back to say how great it was, thank you very much, where can we get more? I just love that. And then we keep going and then the next one comes out and I'm already in 2024. So I'm already ahead. And it's just all this, you know, because it's only the positive stuff that I'm writing, that I'm seeing, that I'm putting in the diaries. It's like, well, what better way to live life?
Yeah. We need more visionaries like you for sure in the world today, and a dream is a wonderful thing to have, and I wouldn't bet against you on any front, to be honest with you. Get Up and Go diaries, check them out online. They're available in hard copy, as Dr. Eileen Forrestal says there. You've uplifted us this afternoon. Love your positivity, and I wish you well for 23 and beyond. Thank you so much for joining me.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. Thank you.
Take care yourself. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Dr. Eileen Forrestal there. Get Up and Go, which a lot of people are doing at the moment. One day at a time. That's the message on Your Late Lunch. Bob Marley, Could You Be Loved? I'll tell you what I've been loving over the break. The darts. I love the darts at Christmas time and into the new year. The world final is tonight, Louise. Michael Van Gerwen against Michael Smith. The two Michaels on the hockey. I will be glued. I love the darts. I absolutely love it.
Is there a chant or something? And my son was asking about the chant in the middle of
Michael
it.
Michael Van Gerwen. Michael Van Gerwen. No. Excuse you me. That chant you'll hear tonight in the Alley Pally in London.
You just made that up.
I didn't mind. Folks, did I make that up? She doesn't believe me. She doesn't believe me. Louise doesn't believe me. I did not make that up. That's what they sing. Oh, Michael Van Gerwen. Yeah, they'll be singing that tonight as he's on the stage. It's a great final. They're two brilliant players. I'd recommend it. It'll be just fantastic. And of course, Arsenal are playing tonight. The league leaders are playing Newcastle United.
So you won't be
tonight.
Answering your phone.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'll have televisions on everywhere, looking screens and watching everything. Just keep it in touch with the lot. It's a great night of sport this evening. Louise. Easter eggs in the shops. Give me a break.
Kind of happens every season now, doesn't it? Just the minute one ends, the next one begins.
Well, then they should just leave the Christmas stuff up all year. Leave the eggs in the shops all year. This is my recommendation. Leave the Halloween stuff there all year. The buckets and spades. Just have everything all year round. All mixed up together. So you don't know what time of the year it is. You could be buying Christmas decorations in July. Coconuts in January. You know, the stuff like... Why not do that? Why not do something like that?
Where'd the coconuts come out of?
Halloween.
All right.
I suppose you could have coconuts in the summer as well. Yeah, you could have coconuts. That's what I'm saying. The world is all mixed up. Anyway, Aunt Louise has a constant when it comes to Easter eggs. A constant. Isn't there Easter eggs upstairs?
Yeah, there's one.
Isn't there?
Yeah.
Why didn't you eat it?
You might have given... Somebody gave me a Cadbury's cream egg.
You love them, don't you? The Cadbury's cream eggs.
Yeah, and somebody gave it to me in obviously the Easter 2019. Yeah. And I put it in the top drawer.
Yeah.
And I forgot about it. And then COVID hit and we're all kicked out.
It's a pre-COVID.
I'm just leaving it there. And I'm just going to be the one when I'm 70 that I'd hit all the papers and radio stations all over saying I have had this
egg since before COVID.
And I haven't opened it. And I wonder what colour
it
is.
And I'm going
underneath.
To eat it tonight. And the next day...
my obituary will appear.
The death has occurred following the eating of
the death has finally occurred.
Easter egg. I think it's rubbish. But look, about Easter eggs being in shops, to be honest, at the minute. But Easter is early this year. It's the first week of April. It is an early Easter. I give you that. But holy God almighty. Give us a month off.
Some selection boxes or celebrations or whatever before Christmas. But nobody's going to buy an Easter egg now.
I think we now need legislation. I'm calling on the government today to legislate for Christmas, for Easter, for Halloween, please. We need legislation that retailers cannot sell or put on display eggs until, what would be a reasonable time? A month before Easter?
March.
Yeah, March for the Easter eggs. Christmas, November. Mid-November.
October. After Halloween.
November for Christmas.
Okay, November.
And you know, Halloween stuff, well, we could take Halloween.
Yeah, the 30th of October.
30th of October for Halloween, the day before.
Yeah.
We are calling on the government today on Late Lunch to enact legislation to get us back on track with the seasonality of seasons and retail. Please, listen to us. If you're out there, help us. We need help.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Counting down the top 5 songs from this week of yesteryear. And today it's
1993 today. Yes, it is. 1993 is the year. New and Late Lunch at this time each afternoon. What I'm going to do each week is count down the top 5 in the UK charts on this week from a year in the past. So we'll play the 5 songs that were the top 5 from Monday through Friday. We'll reach the number 1 on Friday for you. So this week it is the charts of the 3rd of January 1993. And the number 5, which I would have played yesterday, so I'm going to ignore it today, was Forever People by The Shaman. It's the number 4 today in the charts from that week. And this song reached number 1 in the UK singles charts for 2 weeks in late 1992. So it was on its way down the charts in the week I'm featuring. It was number 4 this week. It was a big hit right across Europe and in America too. And for the songwriters, Leeson and Vale, they won a Niver Novello Award for Best Song Musically and Lyrically in 1992. So it was a biggie. Number 4 in the 1 to 5 countdown on Late Lunch. Here it is. Our number 4 in our 5 to 1 countdown from this week in 1993. It's Charles and Eddie, Would I Lie to You? Now, there's a song I really like. That's your number four. And then Wednesday, it'll be three, Thursday, two, and on Friday, the number one, and the good ones, I have to say, from the chart back in 1993. Yes, our 5-2-1 countdown on Late Lunch. Number four today, and number three coming your way tomorrow afternoon. Now, Christmas is just over, and there are messages coming in. Jerry, Dunn Stores had their St. Patrick's Day goods on sale last Wednesday, says Anne. Trisha gave up chewing gum a few years ago and hasn't taken a chewing gum since. Well done to you. You must have enjoyed the gum. Would anyone ever make an everlasting flavour of gum? Now, there's something that would really go down a treat. And John's on to me to say, it's great to see a little stretch. Is there a little stretch? Well, on the clock it has, minute-wise. But I don't think you really see the stretch until late January into early February. But look, at every few minutes helps, doesn't it, John? Thank you for getting in touch with us. Final break of this first afternoon late lunch of 2023 and afterwards. If you have gifts that you would like to donate, well, the charities are willing recipients and we're going to hear about it next. You know those 46 pairs of socks you got for Christmas? You're not going to need the half of them. So what are you going to do with them? And it applies to other gifts as well people receive at Christmas time. Things that they just may have too much of, or perhaps it just didn't suit. You know what I'm talking about? Well, the charity shops are really very, very willing and delighted to receive what you got at Christmas that you don't want to keep yourself. Let's have a chat first with Peter Johnson. He's the retail manager with the St. Vincent's shops, and they're dotted all across the northeast here and all over the country. Afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon to you. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping well. Peter, is it appearing already what I'm talking about? Are people, you know, do they look to you with stuff that they want to donate from Christmas?
They do, they do. I mean, it's a really, really busy time of the year for us in terms of accepting donations from the public, and we are more than grateful to the public to receive the gifts, especially in the current economic situation that we find ourselves in with the cost of living crisis. We've seen an increase in about 26% in our shops last year. That was based on 2019. So a massive, massive increase for demand for our shops, for the services that we're providing in terms of the cost of living crisis. And not only that, but also, we're very much to the forefront in the circular economy and reuse and recycle industry. So we're not only helping people in need by generating money and helping people with the cost of living crisis, we're also helping the climate as well. So all in all, anybody who has any surplus gifts that they've got or something that doesn't fit or anything like that, please bring it down to either one of our shops or donate it into one of our clothing banks. You can get a list of all of our shops and where our clothing banks are on our website, svp.ie. And just to thank all the public again for everything that they do for us and all that they donate to us. And one last thing, just a big shout out to all the volunteers that work for St. Vincent de Paul, because all of the money that we generate from your gifts that you'll be giving to us that we'll sell on, all of that money then goes to helping people in the local area.
And when you mentioned that percentage rise, it is enormous. It's up a quarter.
Unprecedented in that. Yeah. I mean, I'm doing this job now for nearly 10 years. And, you know, you're normally trying to grow by about 3 or 4 or 5%. You'd be delighted. Mm. But to just see it jump overnight to 26%, and that's nationally as well. So. Mm.
So gifts, anything you got that doesn't suit, doesn't fit in the clothing, in the gift, in the, I'm just thinking of kitchen implements, anything at all, you know what I mean? Vincent de Paul are there. You're willing to look at whatever people take it.
We're willing to look at it and take it. I mean, try and think, if you are bringing anything to the shop, just try and think, would it be sellable?
Yes.
Most things are sellable, you know. Yeah. But I mean, you know, if there was toys with missing parts in it, that could be difficult and we could end up having to dump that stuff. Yeah. But in general, people are very good. And in general, we are willing to look at anything that people will bring into us, because we can then turn it into income for people in need.
And you know, at this time of the year, I actually did it over the break myself. I had an examination, may I say, of my wardrobe as well. And I took out, you know, what I haven't worn and other things as well. And I had them ready to go in good condition. Again, you say clothing like that, where people do a clear out of that. And a lot of people do it in January. Again, most welcome.
Well, I think one of the things people need to realise is we don't really have a clear handle on it in this country in terms of what goes to landfill, especially from clothing, right? Mm. But they do in other countries. But it's estimated that we dump about 100,000 tons a year of stuff that could be resold or reused.
Yes.
That we're dumping that into landfill. Now, that's an awful shame, especially when we are actually crying out for it. Because, as I said to you, our business demand because of the cost of living crisis has increased. And I think it's the pennies dropped to a lot of people around the climate and reuse and recycling. So because of that, we've seen a massive increase in people who are shopping in our shops. Mm. But we need the stock to be able to stock the shops. So, you know, I would just encourage people, if, you know, sometimes it's the handy thing to just go to the bin at the back and throw something away. But if we really have a think about it and think, God, could this be used by St. Vincent de Paul? We'd be only too delighted to bring it in. All of our professional staff know exactly what they can and cannot sell. And we're just too delighted. So please think of us if you are throwing anything away, or if you have presents that you've got or too much stuff. We'd be only too delighted. And as I said, we're one of the one charities that can stand over 100% of all of our net income goes to people in need. So
yeah, look, you're great people and you have a wonderful network, and I again congratulate your volunteers and all who support you. And again, just reminding people, St. Vincent de Paul, svp.ie, all the information is there. Peter, happy new year to you and keep doing what you're doing. You're wonderful.
Thanks so much.
Not at all. Thank you for joining me on the show, Peter. June Tinsley is standing by, listening in there from the National Council for the Blind of Ireland. Hello, June.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, June. Tell us your story about, you were listening to Peter there welcoming what he can get as well. Are you similar? Are you in the similar market looking for anything you can get yourselves for your shops?
Yeah, very much so. And as Peter rightly said, I mean, we certainly would welcome any unwanted gifts that people would have received, whether it's clothing or homeware, toys, as long as it's that they're in good condition, but also furniture. Certainly our store in Drogheda is quite a large store, and it does have an extensive collection of furniture as well. So if anyone received or might have got a new couch or whatever at Christmas time and now wants to get rid of their older one, please feel free to consider NCBI as an option to pass on your old furniture. Certainly our demand for our services has gone up exponentially throughout 2022 as well, and I would predict the same for 2023. So certainly all donations will be gratefully received throughout January. As you rightly say, many people seize it as an opportunity to do some spring cleaning. Mm. So certainly we would welcome any of the donations that we would receive.
And June, I take it you pick up the furniture, you'll go and have a look at what's on offer, and you make a decision then whether you take or not. You know, because you have to say as well, some items are just not suitable and they wouldn't be more for the dump. You know what I mean? And that distinction has to be made.
Yes, I mean, as you say, it does need to be sellable.
Yeah.
So we would be encouraging people to contact their local NCBI store in their region. And we do have a number of furniture warehouses, but in the northeast, the largest store we would have for furniture specifically would be Drogheda, and they could easily take a picture of it and send it in to us, and we can kind of say yes. That'd be great, we'd love to get it, we can arrange the collection and all that kind of stuff if needed. Or people can drop it straight to the store, whichever is convenient.
Do you think, just before we finish, that like in your experience, we heard what Peter had to say there, are people more conscious now, are more people aware of, look, don't go to the bin with the stuff, it is usable again, take it to the charity, we can make this work and other people need it? Is that getting, is that permeating the conscience, the consciousness of people in Ireland?
Very much so. Certainly in the last number of years, people can see the added benefit of shopping in a charity shop, because not only are you helping the charity of choice deliver frontline services to people in need, and for NCBI, obviously, it's for frontline services to people who are blind or vision impaired, but the impact it also has on the environment. And everybody knows that they have a role to play to try and make the world a greener and healthier place, and simple actions by recycling or choosing to shop in a charity shop will ensure that the clothing will have an extra long life, as opposed to ending in landfill. It means that everybody is playing their part.
Good stuff. Well, look, check them out. Your website again, please.
NCBI.ie.
and donations more than welcome. Thank you, June. Wish you well for the new year too.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. That's June Tinsley there from NCBI. That's our lot on Late Lunch, our first show back of the new year. Let me tell you what's happening midweek Wednesday. The old bank holidays are great. We have another one coming in February as well with St. Bridget's Day. And one comment before I go from Molly. I meant to mention it earlier on. She says, Gerry, Pele once signed his autograph for George Best and wrote, from the second best footballer in the world. May his lovely soul rest in peace, says Moll. Thank you for that comment to us today. I meant to get back to it a little earlier on the show. Anyway, Wednesday's Late Lunch midweek. Professor Paul Moyna. Remember Paul? He's back with us on the show tomorrow. Plenty to chat about again. Robbie Horgan tells us his story. Robbie Horgan, famous goalkeeper, League of Ireland, managed and played all over the place. He's with Trim now, surviving sepsis. And Pádraig McDermott is with us. He is the referees coordinator, assistant PRO and county teams liaison for Meath Ladies. And it's all about refereeing with Pádraig on the show tomorrow afternoon and more besides. Eddie Caffrey's coming next with The Drive here on LMFM Radio. Have a lovely Tuesday and do come back and join us for your Late Lunch, 1:30 Wednesday. See you then.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.